friends are.
Yeah.
Austin and Greg. Okay, well, what homework number is this? Anybody remember?
Six.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, I won't
be
in class tomorrow then.
Sorry about that switchy business.
It's really annoying.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what to say. We'll record the lecture at least. Okay, so let's look at this homework problem. Actually, you know, the homework problem you just finished might help you quite a bit on this one if you just look at it. This is actually a real situation. This is a very useful circuit because I've used this quite a number of times. You know, I'll have two antennas here. These are the antennas. Yeah, they have an impedance. They look like, you know, a load impedance, 50 ohms. So these are antennas that were already designed to have 50 ohms, but I have two of them, and I want them to both the signals to add, you know, so I get twice the signal back here at the receiver.
Okay.
And so in order for to get the maximum power transfer from these guys to there, you know, you can actually kind of think of these as a little 50-ohm source here, you know, instead of a load, if you like. And, you know, this is a 50-ohm source, and they're both sending signals down here. And you need to have the impedances matched so that, you know, this source, you know, all the power is transferred perfectly into this load over here for the receiver. Or... if you want to think about it in transmitter, I've obviously used it that way. You know, you have your transmitter right here, and you want half the power to go to this antenna and half the power to go to that antenna. And you may think that, well, that doesn't really help because you split the power in half, and then they both went to an antenna and whatnot, but. What happens is the E field, even though it's 1 over root 2, the E field would be, 1 over root 2, what it would have been if I just had one antenna. But if you take the E field and you add them together in the direction that they add, you know, the antennas will be spaced out a little bit, so in some direction they superimpose, then the E field will be 2 divided by root 2, right? Yeah, and when you actually look at the power is actually ended up being twice as much in that direction. So you can focus your energy that way. So that's how, directional antennas work. Or, another use I used for this was many years ago, I used to use a ham radio satellite that was going around the Earth, and the satellite is out there in space and it's spinning, and so the satellite has a regular linear antenna. As it spins, if you're receiving with a linear antenna, when it's like this, it's loud, and when it's like this, it's really hardly hearable, and then it's loud again, and it's, they call it spin modulation. It's very annoying. And so what you can do is if you take two linearly polarized antennas and you use a phasing arrangement like this, or you might actually put another quarter wavelength delay in there, or you can put one antenna a quarter wavelength in front of the others, and then what it does is it gives you a circular polarization. In other words, the tip of the E field vector goes in a helix, and then you don't hear this spin modulation because as it's spinning, your thing is set up for not receiving. I mean, it's receiving a circular polarization, so all the time it sounds, so.
I'm trying to. So I'm how do they add when they get?
We're putting them in parallel here, so I'm going to come down here. So you could kind of break this up and look at, you know, just this thing by itself. You know, really, you want 50 ohms looking in here, right? And you're going to have this 50 ohms turns into something here, and that 50 ohms turns into the same something. So it's going to be something parallel something, you know, a half of something. It needs to be 50 ohms. And then how do you make that thing turn into that, you know, whatever that something is, right? So it's not so hard, really. If you just look at what you just did in your last homework, it's pretty easy. So we want to do some Smith chart practice today. So yeah, you need a certain L and you need a certain Z0 here. That's the two things you'll get. And if you look at your last homework, you'll figure it out. And well, there's two equations, really, because I need the real part of the impedance looking in here to be 50 plus J0, right? There's two equations, the real and imaginary.
Would we be able to calculate the impedance? Do we just add them in parallel?
Yeah. They are in parallel, right? They're in parallel. Uh-huh. So anyway. Okay, so let's do an example problem here. Basically, my purpose in this example problem is to get familiar with using the Smith chart, get more practice. And so I'll do another antenna example. One of the things that you know, you might think antennas aren't related too much to electronics, but actually they are. And I think probably on Wednesday what I'm going to do, because you guys are getting close to the place where you're ready to design your circuit board, on Wednesday we'll start talking about circuit board, you know, how to build a circuit board and things to look at, okay? And when you're actually looking at circuit boards, you need to think in terms of transmission lines and antennas, because you don't want the digital signals in your system to interfere with the analog signals, okay? Usually the digital signals have, you know, they're usually pretty fast and maybe some high current there compared to, you know, the analog signals. Like if you're making a radio receiver or something, you know, the analog signals are, you know, microvolts and the digital signals are, you know, 3.3 volts or something. And so the digital signals, you don't want that digital noise to get into your receiver, and all those square waves have a lot of harmonics, and you know, there's just not, it's not nice. And so what you want to do is you want to design your circuit board by thinking of it as a, you know, transmission lines and antennas. And so it's very important actually to look at some of those kind of things. So today what we're going to do is we're going to actually look at you know, a couple of well, I don't know. We'll do at least one impedance matching problem, and I'm going to, you know, kind of think of it as an antenna, because people actually, you know, use this kind of method to design antennas. So here's what I've got. I've got some kind of a transmission line here, and I'm going to put a load on the end, which you can think of as an antenna if you want. And I'm going to make this 100 plus J100 ohms, okay? And the Z0 of this transmission line will be, say, 50 ohms. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a shorted, what we call a stub here, and this, I'm going to call this distance S here. That's the length of the stub. And then I'm going to call this distance here D. And I want to design this such that the input impedance right here, Zn, equals 50 ohms. And the problem is to find S and D. Okay? Now, you know, just like this one over here, there were two unknowns, L and Z0. And there were two equations, you know, the input impedance, you know, Zn here equals 50 plus J0. There's two equations there, two specs, two unknowns. So this is not the usual kind of design problem. This is a very constrained design problem where there's only, well, actually there are a number of answers, but that's only because the Smith chart kind of wraps around, okay? So one thing you can see on the Smith chart that if I have lossless line, if I add another half wavelength to any link, it's going to be act the same way, right? So, you know, you can add any number of half wavelengths you want and it'll still work. But usually we try and do this so that it works best in a world where there actually are some losses. And where there are some losses, you want to keep the length of your line to a minimum, right?
So why the stuff? What's it do?
Well, let's think about this. The stub is in parallel, so it would be better to work with impedance or admittance?
Why?
Well, that's no good. You can't argue with Carlos then. Carlos, why are you thinking impedance? Maybe if you can start arguing with Hillary and convince her. Maybe Austin can break the tie here. Well, this guy, what I'm saying is this guy's in parallel with that guy. They're in parallel, right? You agree?
Yeah.
Okay, now, suppose I was trying to work with two resistors in parallel, okay? Would it be easier to compute the admittance of those parallel resistors, or would it be easier to compute the impedance of those parallel resistors? Admittance is add in parallel, right? Impedance is add in series. And in parallel, impedances have to use this, you know, 1/1 business, or, you know, Z1, Z2 over Z1 plus Z2. It's kind of a messy thing, right?
Yeah.
So it looks like now you guys are agreeing that you should use admittance. Is that right? Okay, so let's use admittance. Let's think about this. So this guy has some admittance here, right? And you know, we can figure out what the admittance is by, you know, normalizing the impedance and going 180 degrees on the Smith chart. We can do that. Now, we're going to move down the line here at some point, okay? And at some point, we're going to add to the admittance of the stuff, whatever we see looking in there, we're going to add the admittance of this guy right here, right? Now, let's think about the admittance of this guy right here, this stuff. What is the admittance of the stub? What can we say about the admittance of the stub? If we start out, we could actually look at it on the Smith chart here. It's a short circuit. So here, right over here, is 0 plus J0. That's the impedance of the stub, right? So where's the admittance of the stub? Okay, right over here. This is infinity right here, right? That's 1 over 0, right? So we got that. So here is where the admittance of the stub is, and we could just kind of work in admittances. Now, this is on the end of the stub, at the load end of the stub. Which direction do I move on the Smith chart, either up or down, in order to get closer to the beginning of the stub, the input side of the stub? This way. Let's see, counterclockwise. You say this way.
Yeah. To no, get.
We want to go towards the generator. We want to go this way, right? Because we want to go towards the generator. In other words, we know what the admittance is right here. It's infinity, you know, right over here. That's on the right-hand side. And we want to move, which way are we going? Well, here's the generator over here, so we're moving towards the generator, right?
Oh.
And on the new Smith chart I gave you here, notice it even says here, wavelengths towards the load is this way. And somewhere over here it says wavelengths towards the generator.
It's up there.
Same place. Okay. Oh, yeah, over there. Wavelengths towards the generator is that way. Okay. So I'm going to start here. And as I move along, just let's look at what can we say about moving along on this circle right here, on this outer circle. What can we say about that? But, you know, the impedance starts, you know, it's always, what is it here? It's this is 0 plus J, minus J1 and 0 minus J0 and 1. I mean, that'd be 0 minus, plus J1 and, you know. So it's always 0 plus J something, right? On that circle, that was the 0 reactant circle, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 0 resistance circle. 0 resistance circle. There's no real part there, right? So what we're saying is that this stub here looks like a... What? Is it a resistor, a capacitor, an inductor, or what? Looks like a... Might be, yeah. It would be inductor. It would be, if the admittance is down here, it's an inductor right here. And if, what if the admittance is up there? Capacitor. So it could be an inductor or a capacitor. But it's no resistance, right? Now, what do we know about inductors and capacitors as far as how much power they dissipate? They don't. The average power dissipated by an inductor or a capacitor is zero, right?
Ideally,
yes. And we're doing this as a lossless line, so we're saying that's ideal, hopefully. Or approximately that, right? So the idea is that stub is not going to dissipate any power, and all the power must still go out to that 100 plus J, 100 ohms on the end, right? Right? So that stub acts like a capacitor or an inductor. You can make it whatever you want. So now I take the admittance of this guy and I move back to this point right here. And if I make D just the right length, the admittance looking in here without the stub could be normalized to 1 plus or minus J something, right? And if I made the admittance looking in there 1 plus or minus J something, and I know I can make it 1 because this circle right here is the 1 circle. See that? And it goes halfway across. So there's, you know, wherever I end up, if I start here and rotate here, I can hit that. There is no place on this chart I can go and rotate around that I won't hit that 1 circle, right? Does that make sense? So I know if I go the right distance D, I can hit the 1 plus J something normalized admittance circle. And then if I add the stub on, the stub could be made to be minus J something, right? So that with the stub and the other thing, looking in there, the normalized admittance would be 1 plus J0, right? Which would mean the normalized impedance is 1 plus J0, which would mean that the real impedance is Z0, right? So we've used that stub to match the impedances, and now I'll get maximum power transfer from my transmitter, which has a 50-ohm source resistance, into that 100 plus J 100-ohm load, right? Does that make sense? So let's do the stuff on the Smith chart, okay? Now what I want to do is, now that I've kind of explained this to you, I need a volunteer. Who wants to come and find D? Nobody, right? Well, that's okay. You have the power with the pen to pick on your buddies here. So I'm just going to stand back and see what you do here. So now time to pick on the buddy, right?
I want to start by normalizing.
Yes! 2 points for Hillary. Equals, yes. Well, that's the Zn normalized. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Zn normalized is
for the load. Where is the 2 plus J2 on the Smith chart? Okay, so it's right. Okay, so the 2 is this circle right here.
Okay, yeah, I'm there.
Right, 2, and then the plus J2 is about right here, okay? Now this point right here is the load impedance, right?
Yeah.
So what did we decide we wanted to work with?
Load admittance.
So how do I find that?
Oh, jump around the.
Okay, so it's going to be. It's going to be. Okay, where'd it go? Okay, 2 plus J2 is right here. So I'm going to take this and I'm going to swing around 180 degrees.
Oh, but that's the impedance. So we want.
So it's going to be about like.
So you have your circle coming from,
and then it's on the other side, so it'd be this one.
Basically, I think you just like do the distance, and then it's going to be the exact same distance the other way. I'm not sure how you would do it easily by sight.
How you do it by sight? You have to use a ruler if you have a like a divider. Of course, you guys probably don't even know what dividers are. They look like a compass, but they're just two little things, you know, that kind of come out and you can, you know, put it here.
A compass?
Yeah, if you had a compass, it would work great too. Yeah, compasses are actually great if you have one. But you guys don't even use those tools anymore. When I was studying engineering, the first thing they said is you had to get a little kit with all these things, right?
Should just be 1 divided by 2 plus 2j, right?
Yeah, just 1 over 2 plus 2j. 2, enter. I don't know how to do function.
It's going to be 1/4 minus 1/4 I. It's going to be 1/4 minus 1/4 I.
Yeah, 0.25 minus j, 0.25, yeah.
Yeah, I was pointing
at you. Yeah, right.
Get my TI on my phone.
Yeah. You don't haul your TI around anymore.
I do, but it's easier to use when you're doing lots of math, but when you really quickly need it, it's easier than digging in your backpack for it.
I'm doing the same thing with old HP calculator.
Greg finally got his smartphone over the weekend. It's his birthday today, actually. So.
Oh, really? Yeah. Man, oh, too bad. We should have sung him happy birthday.
So a new phone means new alarm clock, so that's why he's late.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he texted me. He's like, yeah, I just woke up as I was coming in class, and I was like, shoot.
great. Well, that's cool. I'm glad he's joining the ranks of all the smartphone people.
He was pretty excited. Yeah. And I had been nagging him forever. Greg, you need a smartphone.
Yeah.
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 So
yeah.
It's, we're going to be just 1/4 minus 1/4
I. Yeah, so you found it. So it should be.
I just 1 divided 1.
He did it with on his calculator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is hard to see.
It's not 1/4.
It should be right about. Is this?
It will end up.
Yeah, move up.
Right here? Is that
over,
it?
Go over 3.
Right. So this is the 0.3 and that's 0.2. So 0.25 and 0.25. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's 0.25 minus 8.25.
Yeah.
So
okay. So you got y in load normalized. Yeah, you could do y in normalized too. You might as well.
That's an L.
Oh, okay. Y L. Okay, that's an L normalized.
Okay.
Equals. No, it's minus
J.25. How did we know it was minus?
Well, Greg did it on his calculator. And everything down here is negative J. Everything up there is positive J. So if it was down here,
okay,
which that's where Hillary said it was, it's minus J.
.25.
I wonder if there's a Smith chart app for your phone.
Oh, there totally is, probably.
Yeah.
I was trying to find a good engineering reference app, but
okay.
You all have to pay for all.
And then we have to denormalize it?
No. Leave it. Everything's normalized. Last thing you do is denormalize. Okay, so now you're right here, right?
Yeah.
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
Or somewhere right.
Somewhere there, yeah.
Right in here. Okay. Now what are you going to do? We need to get to the place where we're going to add something in parallel, right? So what do we got to do? We move which direction? Yeah, the impedance of that will be a function of S, but we already kind of knew how we were going to do this, right? I mean, what were we going to do? We're going to move that, the S is always going to be an imaginary part. It's only going to be a capacitor and inductor. So you need to get to the point where when you add a capacitor and inductor admittance in, that you're going to get normalized 1, right? So what do you have to do? Well, if we were going to do that right there, if we just put the stub right with D equals 0 right at the load, then we could knock out that 0.25J, but the YN being 0.25 would not give us Z normalized as 1 or Y normalized as 1, right? Yes.
Point
you want. You want the y at that point to be 1 plus j something, or 1 minus j something.
What do you get it to be? Oh.
I'm confused why.
Okay, well, let's just try it here. You're at 0.25 minus j 0.25 right here, right? And we're, d is moving, as we move it, distance, as d increases, we're getting closer to the generator, right? That means I've got to go this way. So I take it the constant radius, and I swing this around, you know, and I'm watching the impedance go by. I got 0 plus j something right about here. And then as I go by, you know, I'm swinging around here. And, you know, I don't know, it's going to
so
come
you basically
in.
Do everything.
Yeah, right. So here's the one. When I hit this one right here, I'm going to say, aha, there it is. My impedance is what I want, or my admittance is what I want. It's 1 plus J 1.4 or whatever if my arms were calibrated, right?
Okay. So we rotate around the origin.
Yes, with the same radius. The same radius is because the magnitude of gamma doesn't change in a lossless line, right?
Might as well just do it from the other one since it's closer.
Yeah, you could.
So, yeah, 1.6 is what I'm getting to.
Yeah. 1 plus J, 1.6.
So,
that just comes from changing the distance of d.
Okay.
As we move towards the generator, it's going to be going that way. It's almost like you moved away from the generator far enough, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe no.
So.
So does it just keep on going around that circle as you get closer? And
yeah, he just repeats as you go around.
Every,
yeah, every half wavelength it repeats. Yeah. So, but there's actually two places this could happen. One is right there, and another one is over here.
Oh, true. Yeah, we could have 1 plus or minus 1.6 j.
So is this the distance we're looking for?
That or this one?
Well, we're going towards the general, so it's the right?
Are you
going
towards the I guess it is the
right. Yeah, because then we started with the load.
So, this
distance here is b, right?
Yes.
So, d.
And then, depending on whether we want that to be a capacitor or inductor, it depends on which way we go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we want it to be a capacitor.
Of how far you go. You're always going towards the load, right?
Yeah, so if it's a capacitor, then it's going to be negative. Then we want to go around the other way so that they get so that they cancel, right?
So we want to.
So we want to be at 1 minus 1.6 j, right? Or am I just completely out of the
event? No, I think you're onto something.
Can you explain this to us?
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so let's look at this. So we started out here at 2 plus J2. Here.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a circle here. You could make a, you know, take your compass and spin a whole circle there. But anyway, first thing we did was went halfway around and we came up with 0.25 plus J.25 right here. Okay, now what we're going to do is I'm going to keep the same radius because the magnitude of gamma stays the same, and I'm going to rotate towards the generator, which is this direction. So I'm going around, as I'm going around, I'm looking at all the admittances of my going around. You know, over here I'm at 0.4 plus J1, you know, and finally I come back around about to.
We found it to be 1.6.
Okay, so you got 1 plus J1.6 right in here, okay? So now you need to put, the stub has to be a minus J.6 in order to get you right down to here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the stub starts out with an admittance right here, right?
Yes.
We rotate towards the generator till we hit minus 0.6. So here it is infinity. There it is. I don't know, I can't read it, but this is 2 here and 1 and 0.8, 0.7, 0.6 right here, okay? So then you look right here and you see how far you rotate right here. Because I wanted to not, oh, was it 1.6? Oh, I wanted 1.6. So that's back here somewhere. One point right here, okay, so right here. So I take the distance right here, which was 0.25, and I come down here. Man, I'm wondering if I could adjust the focus on this guy. This is not very good.
As good as I can get it.
It's a little better, I think. So it's about, this is 0.25, 0.26, 0.27, 0.28, 0.29. What did I say? It's about 0.35 minus 0.25 would be about 0.1 minus. So this guy right here, you're getting S equals 0.1 lambda, right? Okay. Good. Anyway, so S equals 0.1 lambda, and D. Which was, this was 0.25 lambda minus 0.35 lambda minus 0.25 lambda.
So the distance
from here to here. And he went up here, but we didn't do that here. So it was actually that.
You found the distance.
All right, so I started at the stub admittance right here. So I looked at 0.25 lambda. Okay, so now I'm moving towards the 1.6, the minus J1.6 here, and then I look at what it reads right over here. It says about, oh, it says 0.34.
It's about 0.339.
Okay, so now we know what S is, and D was, what? D was, you know, D, you got to start right here, you know, wherever this is, right here. So what does that turn out to be, you guys, with the straight edges? 0.459 lambda and then you got to go, it goes around to zero. It's really 0.5 minus 0.459 lambda plus that, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say this plus 0.5 lambda, and then plus what's the other one? 0 to, what was 2.9? 0.178 lambda, and that equals 0.259 lambda?
219.
Yeah. Lambda. And we could draw a little picture here. Here's the Smith chart right here. So we started with right here. This point right here was, this is Z load right here, right? And so this point over here is Y load right there. And if you come out like this, this is the 0.459 lambda. And we went around, we spun around here. So we got to right there. Well, we had to go towards the, towards the generator, which is this direction, right? So we were going like this, and so this distance, when I follow that out, this distance right here is D, between there and there, right? And now I read off on the Smith chart, I read off this thing right here, said J1.6, right? And then down here is minus J1.6. So the S distance was this. So from there to there, this is S, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, it took us the whole class to do that, though. But. I'll pick them up right away. I'm getting kind of bad on that. But I did make some progress this weekend. Yeah, you have to practice with them. Yeah, you definitely want not just a ruler, maybe a compass might be a good thing.
What about a protractor?
That's not quite as important as the ruler and the compass. And a pencil.
The one that has
those.
Yeah. Yeah, right, yeah.
That never work to draw a circle.
Yeah, right.
If you're very careful, you can find it.
You can make it work. Yeah.
If you pick it up.
So anyway, good job. You figured it out. At 11, other than that, I should be around.
Class at 11?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I have all my classes for. I just have a list of what I need to graduate. I went degree audit, and I have all of them, and I'm ready to sign up for them, but I have like 4 conflicts. Mm-hmm. I mean, two and two classes.
Right, yeah, 2 conflicts, really.
Yeah.
So we bring those by, and then we'll go see Larry or whoever, you know, we'll figure out what we can do.
Thank you.
Yep.
No,
I, well, yeah, not yet. I was doing some antenna simulation yesterday. So I just took two dipoles. Well, I took one dipole. And I made it, resonated 14 megahertz or so. And then I took another dipole. I just took another piece of wire. That's my foot. Less than half of like the part. And I just moved it apart and measured the resonant frequencies and sampled the pattern that it made. You know, interesting because when it was up close with like at 1.5, it's still even.
It's still a couple of quite
yeah,
a bit.
It was coupling a lot. And so once I got, I went out to 100 meters just to see what it would do.
Yeah, that should have been better.
And it was,
pictures of that.
Yeah. The coupling was not much.
This is back in the days when you had to calculate it by hand, yeah. But there's some pictures in here. If I could find them, they kind of oscillate back and forth, the mutual coupling. Me a while to find it, but I can remember the picture pretty well.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, I found a good article that some guy's PhD thesis, it looks like, that talked about a bunch of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading through that yesterday.
Yeah.
It was actually four direction finding as well. So.
Yeah. Anyway, so you move it far enough apart and then you'll get.
Yeah.
You know.
So.
I mean, this kind of thing, you know, as you move this up,
this is
kind of like having a dipole down
right,
here and a dipole there because of the reflector, right?
Exactly, yeah, cool. And it, so
is. So you can see, is it going, you know, it's not, even this is like one wavelength, it's still bouncing back and forth between 60 and 80 ohms, you know, so you probably have to get two or three wavelengths out, you know.
So what do we, input impedance, because the
impedance, yeah, is changing.
I should.
You can look at that on neck, too.
Yeah, so I was going to.
And this is when you have them this way.
Interesting.
And it's less. I mean, you know, it's not oscillating as much. You can see there's a lot more coupling when you have them like this than when you have them like this.
Right.
Because the E field goes like this. Here it just goes straight across, right?
Yeah, exactly. So.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so I just did two antennas. I was going to do like four dipoles and then move them out.
Yeah.
And see what, if I excite one, do I can take the input impedance and the resistance and SWR and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was wanting to see if I could simulate the little mini whip antennas.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked online and I found one guy who said he had a neck model for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then his website was down. He took down his website. So
disgusting.
Yeah, so.
So who was it? This was CBIC or something?
It was VK1OD or something like
same
that.
Okay, guy. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I might.
Look him up on QRZ and try sending me an email.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering what all would be in that for creating a model, because it's just
I think, you know, you could just, you know, just do a little wire that went around the edges of the metal plate.
Okay.
And
and then just, like, hook on a long wire for the...
Yeah, for until you go down to your, to your choke.
Yeah, so that would mean that I would be getting high impedance values with the input impedance if I excite.
Right, you'll get a very high impedance, yeah.
But
that doesn't matter because you've got a JFET, you know, that's going
in,
so you're matching
the
impedance there.
Yeah, I can just look at, like, everything past the preamp and do, Now, if I do try to find a radiation pattern, is that going to be any...
That's fine. There's this reciprocity theorem that says for transmit, it's the same as for receive.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was thinking, so... Because I still have been unable to take my phase values and convert it into a pattern that gives me any sort of, like, directionality for some reason. And it
could be because I've just been testing it with the antennas way too close. But
well, you still should get some kind of directional pattern even with them way close.
Oh, okay.
But it's going to be messed up because they're coupling.
Yeah, and I got something, but it was just really wacky.
Yeah, so right. It may be, yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give that a try, and I'll see if I could just, like, simulate a little, like, wire loop and
mm-hmm.
use that
yeah.
as
the
antenna. So, and then I'll put four of them and move them around and see what happens. So
good.
Okay,
good. And they should be less, hopefully, than the dipoles.
Because they'd be much smaller.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, okay, sounds good.
Yeah. Good. Well,
yeah.
Cool. Thanks for keeping me up to date. That's that's pretty cool.
I'll let you know what happens when I do that. Hopefully I can do that today.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
Yeah. Do you have one more question? Maybe I should stick around and listen just in case.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was doing 3.2.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking at his solution online, and Mike asked about higher frequencies and more things in life here. And I'm wondering if I did something wrong or if he did something.
Is it pole zero matching? What does he do?
Well, all three of them, the trapezoidal, pre-warp, and pole zero.
Okay.
So.
And your sampling frequency is 100 hertz, right?
Yeah, 0.01.
So this is 100 hertz right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you put a zero there, how did you not get this going to zero? And the pole zero mapping.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I plugged in my transfer function and
but then is there really a zero there? Maybe you better check your transfer function, see if you plug in z equals minus one. You actually get a zero. Does it give you zero? It should, right? If you did the pole zero mapping, right? Or maybe you used MATLAB or something to do the pole zero mapping, and maybe MATLAB made the mistake.
I didn't use MATLAB. I found my own transfer function. But it matched his transfer function, so I assumed it was
right.
Huh.
It was correct.
And then how did you get the? How did you do the Bode plot?
I just wrote in some magnitude, and then I basically just plotted it.
Oh, that's the problem right there.
What's the problem right where?
Probably.
This is how I did the last one.
Right,
the last homework, and the last homework turned out just fine, so.
Does it know this system as a discrete system?
Yeah, I used fields instead of TF.
Okay.
And I had it spit these out for me to make sure that it was doing it right.
Yeah,
and
it
wasn't. So.
Well, I would suspect the problem is here if you agree on the transfer function, right?
Yeah.
Because this graph, if you're doing the pole zero mapping,
mm-hmm.
it jolly well better go to minus infinity here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
DB? Because
well,
it's a zero.
I don't know that his does that, though. His solution. I think it...
Well, maybe we could look at his solution.
It's this funny, like, down spike thing, and then comes back.
Yeah, right. It's going to go down to minus infinity
but
right
it's
here.
It's not right there. And all
Ooh,
three of them do not use the pole zero.
Okay, well, where is let's see. I guess I got to go to FWeb. And this is digital control.
Yeah.
And this is right here.
Yeah.
And this is chapter 3 hints or
no,
what?
Solutions.
Down. Okay.
There you go.
Usually the guys have a grad student do this, so often isn't true.
Here's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if I did it correctly. And
this doesn't look right to me either. It should go to minus infinity, shouldn't it?
You would think.
If you got a
but
zero
I think
there.
That
is there also a pole there?
There might be.
Well, let's look at your transfer function here. I mean, how do we check that here? This is the numerator and that's the denominator?
Yeah.
Well, I guess...
His website has been having some issues.
Yeah.
It wasn't loading before for me.
Uh-huh.
So I think they're...
pull out my actual.
And you copied it off.
Work.
Yeah, where is your?
More
yeah, that would be easier.
Yeah.
And we could use octave here.
This is not the right homework.
Okay. Interesting. Wonder which one it is. Okay, so let's see, where is here? So we got z squared plus 2z plus 1, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be z minus 1 squared, right? There should
yeah.
be two zeros at 1, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the thing right here,
yeah.
right? When you put in your a, okay. So let's do roots of 1 minus root. Oops. I think it's root. What is it? 1. First, what is it? 1 minus 1.65. Is this the pole 0? I want to look at the pole 0.
Pole 0 is down here. You want 1 minus 1.5968. Plus 0.818748. Yeah. Actually, I think I have the roots here.
Right, because you were matching.
Somewhere.
Right?
Yeah. I was gonna say, but yeah.
In the Bode plot, let's do help Bode and see what the Bode does.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought
okay,
this
so
these are supposed to approximate.
Bode diagram of frequency. If no outputs are given, response is limited. Okay, this LPI must be single input, single output. Optional vector of frequency values. If W is not specified, it is calculated by the zeros and poles of the system. More details. It didn't have very much. See, the question is, what is Bode really doing? Because, you see, here's what I would do. I would plug in e to the j omega
mm-hmm.
cap t, right?
Mm-hmm.
In for z,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would plot that.
Okay.
So why don't you try that? Plot in, just plug in e to the j omega.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
let's just do it.
That doesn't
let's do it here. We'll do it right here.
Help me for like the other two either, does it?
Yeah, well, I mean, if Bode's not working, let's do Bode.
That's true.
So, so if I do, let's do a, let's actually do this in an editor so we can mess with it. So I'm going to do new here.
I assume that. Well, I assumed that Bode was what I could use.
I'm
going to
say H.
That's what he did in his solution.
Yeah,
he told you to use Bode.
It
that's
worked
what I
last
used.
Time for the
yeah.
last assignment, too.
Okay, so
no.
what was it on top? It's
point
.0555 times Z, I guess. I guess I need to put in, yeah, I can just do Z and I'll put e to the j omega t Z. Squared, right?
Mm-hmm.
Minus z, I'll do a point squared, minus 2 times point, I'll do point star z, right? And then minus 1, or plus 1, is it plus 1?
Yeah, plus 1.
Okay, and point divide by parentheses, and then
what
was
it? Should be a plus 2 in the top there, not a plus 2z, not minus 2z.
Minus 2, right.
Yeah.
plus?
Plus 2.
Plus 1 squared, right? Yes, yeah. Okay. So, and now I've got, what is the bottom?
Z squared minus.
Okay, Z minus what?
1.5968. Z.
4.7Z, okay.
Plus 0.818748.
Okay. And then we'll put ahead of this. Oops, don't write that. I'm just going to put some lines in here. And then I'm going to say Z equals Zxp of J times omega, omega times cap t, and then up here, I'll put in some more stuff, and then t equals, what was t?
0.01.
0.01, and then omega equals log space of, oh man.
It's negative 1 to 10.
Minus 1, comma 1, 0. And we'll put it into 100 points, something like that. And then...
is it 10? Maybe it's 2. I think it's 2. Maybe 1
yeah,
to 2.
Two.
That
two
makes more
two.
Sense. Yeah, I get confused there.
Yeah, right. Maybe 1 here.
Okay.
Okay, and then... anything else we need to do?
I don't think so.
I think that's probably it, yeah.
So now we go down here. Plot. Oh, let's do plot. 20 times 20 times log 1 0 of abs of h, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I need actually omega x and y, right?
Yeah.
And omega and that. And so let's save this. What are we going to save it as? This is digital control. This is what, problem 3.2?
Yeah.
3.2.2. Problem. Let's do 3 dash. I don't know.
I usually use underscore.
Yeah. Okay, so now we'll run this thing and see what we have. Add to path.
Yeah, see, that looks like what I have, doesn't it?
Yeah. So it goes through 0. Oh, no, it doesn't. Never mind. Well, that's it.
Obviously, I must be doing something wrong, because this thing would be, if I plug in z equals minus 1, which would be where omega equals... Oh, I know what we're doing.
What are we doing?
Omega equals. Problem is, we really need to go to. We need a 2 pi in here. I'm not going to. This is f. F goes from 1 to 100, right?
Mm-hmm.
T was 1 over 0.01, right?
Oh, T was...
So I need omega. Let me just change omega to a 2. I'm going to put a 2 star PI star, and I'm going to change omega to F. I'm going to make this F. Is that right?
Okay.
Now it's going to be better. Save. This is going down to minus infinity here. How did I do that, right? Yeah, because I did a whole 2 pi.
Change plot to semi log x so I can see what it looks like with the log scale.
Okay. But we really only want to go to halfway here, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, it told us to plot from 0 to 100. So, or from point 1 to.
Oh, it's to 100.
Hertz?
100 hertz?
Yeah, it's okay. There's a problem statement.
So, okay, so I got it. I got it right here. This is 100 hertz. This is not... This is...
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. This is...
Yeah, see, it told us to do...
100 hertz.
Yeah, 0.1 to 100.
You did 100 radians per second, not hertz.
Yeah, radians per second is what it wants.
Ah, I thought this was hertz.
No.
See, if it was 100 hertz, then this would be the place where it goes to minus infinity right here.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
It's 100 radians, which is back here divided by 2 pi, which is over
yeah.
here, right?
Yeah. And so your mind's not doing that.
Okay, now, I guess, so... So now that I understand this is radians here, not hertz.
Yeah, sorry.
That makes much better sense. And, you know, I mean, if you wanted to, we just saw what we did before when I plugged and had that mistake there, that was the 100.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, we could change this back to radians, right? Omega, and just make this 2 pi, or let's get rid of 2 pi, and just put omega here. And this is now what you are going to 100 radians per second, and that goes
yeah.
down to about minus 12 or something.
Yeah.
Which is what you're getting, so we're agreeing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. That's why I was confused. On all three of them that aren't the continuous one, he's got this, like, spike that comes down over here.
I bet his is plotted versus frequency.
Okay. So mine's probably okay.
Yeah, this is radians.
Okay, because I was thinking that his looks funny, because I thought that we were supposed to be approximating the continuous.
Because his
mine looks way more like
his
looks
more like what I did before, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, he probably has frequency instead of hertz.
Mm.
Okay.
So the thing you need to do here is, instead of this, you need to label this axis radians.
Okay.
Right. But I think everything
yeah.
looks good. I don't
okay.
see any problem there.
Yeah, see, I was
so
thinking that mine
as it turns out, they're probably both right.
Yeah.
And this is yours, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, he's really confused me because, you know,
well, I wish I could
we
see his, but I guess
I
it's not
we
working
the
today.
Continuous and his continuous looks like
still
this,
trying
like
to reload.
And I'm like, that doesn't look like an approximation of the continuous at all.
Yeah. I tell you, those graduate students.
Oh, here
there
it is.
Okay.
That worked.
Okay.
Okay, what
so
number was this?
3, 2. Right there.
Right here?
Yeah, so he's got the spike
oh,
right
yeah.
there.
Okay, notice it says frequency in hertz.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
They,
so I'm okay. I thought I was okay. I just wanted
yeah.
to make sure.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Cool.
Interesting. Yeah,
good.
That would be confusing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure I remember that when I do this.
Cool.
Yeah, so label yours as radiance and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, good. Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was pretty sure I was right. I just wanted to understand why I was right.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, that's good. One of the things you got to do is correlate your answer with somebody else's.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
All
yeah.
right, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Sorry it took us so long to figure out some units issue. Yeah. He was doing something else out there, huh? Probably had some, you know, foam. Well, better take it from him and more mind back this way, right? Male. Discuss this with him and what to do. I'm getting the feeling that he's pretty much, you know, doing his own thing as much as he can. Yeah, God is working on him. God has his ways. This is good. Something's got to happen in William's life. Yeah, I think that's probably true. You want to pray for him right now? Okay. Dear Lord, please take care of William. Please help him to grow up and give his heart to you, Lord. We pray in your name. Amen. Okay. You probably want to watch the last of that video because it's going to disappear. Okay, well, I guess I'll see you when I get home. Okay, love you.
Okay, bye-bye.
see. Today is what, Monday?
Yeah.
So this is probably due the same time as the pendulum one, huh? Is that the pendulum one's due on Friday?
Finally
due Friday. Yeah. Initially due Wednesday. Okay, well, I guess we got that mess to worry about, yeah. So, oh, this is the wrong class. This one. So that one's due 4/25. So what is 4/25? Friday, so actually we should make that 4. Well, whatever, it's 4/24 because we have class on Thursday instead of Tuesday instead of Friday. So make that 4/24 and then it'll be finally due same time. Does that make sense? This one right here, it shouldn't have been 4/25, but 4/25 is Friday, right? Because we don't have class on Friday because they moved Tuesday's chapel to Friday.
And that one you need to do Wednesday finally.
Yeah, so I mean this one, if you want, this could be finally due on the same time as the regular one, but when do you want it finally due? That's probably more important. Finally due Monday. This is okay. It's a class tomorrow for Friday. Or I don't know what it is anyway. They swap Tuesday and Friday, right? So we have class tomorrow. Review of state space here. I probably ought to turn this thing on.